check out Rush Collectibles' awesome horror figures, including the first and only Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey 2 figures. For more information, go to rushfigures.com.
Remember, in the course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends, Dave. We're joined, as always, by your other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. It's another day in the neighborhood.
Well, there you go. A little rhyming.
That's right.
You didn't tell me I had to drop a beat right off the top here.
Right.
I would have brought my A game, you know, tapped into those hip-hop roots of mine.
Damn. Should have done it. I would have threw down a pretty sick rhyme for you. I mean, I threw out a little bit of a sick rhyme, but.
Yep. Too late now. The moment's passed. Sorry about your luck. But today on this episode, we are reviewing The Strangers Chapter 1, which is in theaters now. Before we get there, first off, we want to say thank you to our wives and then all of you, all of our listeners and followers who support us and help spread the word of Listen to Their Screams. Before we dive too deep into it, we want to make sure to remind everyone to be sure to check out the bonus episode that we recently released featuring our very first ever interview with Sean Robinson, the writer and director of Life of Bill. The audio version is in our normal podcast feeds, but a video version is available on YouTube. There's a link in the show notes for this episode if you'd like to check that out. Ike, as our first interview, I think it went very well. Sean was a great guest, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I had a lot of fun interviewing him. You know, for our first interview, we couldn't have picked a better movie. You know, Life of Bell was fantastic. And getting to talk to Sean was probably one of the most fun things that I've been able to do as part of this podcast, you know. So I look forward to being able to do that in the future. So any independent film creators out there want us to review your movie, let us know. Hit us up with an interview.
Yeah. I'm sure we'll do more interviews in the future. Like I said, this is an idea we've bantered around for a while, but we kind of wanted to be selective, right? We didn't want to just interview everybody. No offense to anybody, but, there's just not enough time in our day to interview everybody out there. So we have to kind of be selective. Sean was a great guest. It was a great movie. All the stars aligned on that one, and it was great. So if you have not heard that yet, go check it out. And I highly advise you to go to YouTube and check out the video version because it looks good, right? And then Sean is right there on set of the movie, right? Which is AKA his home. So go check it out.
Yeah.
But Ike, before we get too deep into this episode, did you watch anything this week?
Well, you know, obviously, watched the movie that came out that we watched for the show. But otherwise, been busy watching the Supernatural reruns that I've been watching. Other than that, I recently started back up and played the original Resident Evil 2 from like 1998, I think it is, for the PlayStation 1. So that's been a fun playthrough. I've quite enjoyed it.
Yeah. Well, where are you at on Supernatural on your rewatch?
We actually just got to the end of Season 1. For people who obviously who have seen the show, and maybe for people who haven't, it's kind of your fault. The show's almost 20 years old now. But anyways,
from the beginning, it was 15 episodes or 15 seasons. So, it only ended a few years ago, but, it actually started 2005.
Correctamundo. But we just watched basically they get hit by the truck.
That's a great cliffhanger for the first season.
It really is. And again, me and Kayla were talking about it. We're like, man, I really wish that I would have watched this during like the height of Supernatural. Now, to be fair, like you said, it came out in what, 2005? So I was like, 10 years old?
Yeah, you know. But man, it's such a great show. If you're listening to this, you love horror, you need to give Supernatural a try. And don't be daunted by the 15 seasons. Because, man, once you dive in, you just want to keep plowing. Now there are a few stinkers here and there, but for a 15 season series, I feel like there are relatively few, a very low percentage of episodes that are what I would call be pretty, you know, kind of bad. Overall. Now in that first season, there's an episode called Bugs, which is, it's not that good, but, I'm not a big fan of the Bugs episode. So yeah. There's a few, but anyway, it's a very fun, very fun show. But I didn't really watch anything. I'm always watching Supernatural continually. It's just a constant in my life. Still watching Walker, I watched a few cartoons, different things like that, but nothing of, any note that I can, at least that I can recall. Kind of a more, it's been a busy week, and I don't, didn't have a lot of time to watch much else. So let's move on then to our weekly segment.
Horror Hot Take.
And this episode, Ike is going to come at us with another horror hot take. Ike, are you queued up and ready?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, then bring it on. What is your horror hot take for this episode?
All right, so this one's just kind of a silly goose mood kind of hot take, nothing serious. I know pretty much all the other hot takes have been like serious things, like everything from like racism to like, you know, misogyny and super, like all kinds of shit like that. So this one's just super silly goof mood. And honestly, it's kind of related to the Strangers movie. So my hot take is more of like an opinion that I hate it when horror movies, whether it's slasher movies or anything else, they have that moment of tension. And I understand that some movies have to do it to like set up a storyline, but like, I hate it when in a slasher movie, you have somebody who has a gun, right? You have the protagonist who has a gun, and they have the antagonist at gunpoint or at knife point or at weapon point, and they linger on it for so long, right? And like the person's like, oh yeah, you know, I'm gonna fuck you up or I'm gonna blow your brains out, and then obviously another person either stops them or the villain stops them or whatever the case is, and it's just like, you know, Kayla and I, we were talking about this, and we'll talk about this probably a little bit more when we review the movie. Sometimes I think to myself, like, if I were in a situation like this, right, where like I'm being chased by a killer and I have a shotgun or I have a handgun and I have them dead to rights, am I going to hesitate or am I going to put a bullet in them? And I'd like to say in theory that I wouldn't hesitate, right? That like I would have the common sense and the wherewithal just to be like, look, it's either me or them. I just need to put them down for good. So put a bullet in the brain, best way to kill a killer. So I'd like to say that like I would do that. So I do acknowledge that when I'm put in that situation, hopefully I never am, but if I were ever put in that situation, I may react differently. So the movies may have it correct. But it just irks me, you know, like, and I know that they're doing it for story, and a lot of the time these movies are doing it so that way they can set up further plot points and things like that. But man, I would love it if a horror movie just like played it common and just said like, you know what, pull the trigger, put a hole in them, and then just say, we're good and let's move on. But I know that's not how most movies work. I know it's done intentionally and purposefully. So, yeah, but that's my hot take. I would just love to see them do that. It just irks me because like I'm like, it's not satisfying to like see somebody not die, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. So here's my few just very quick opinions on this, right?
Yeah.
Number one, I'm not gonna get too deep into it related to this movie because my hot take for this episode will pretty much be the review of the movie, and one of my hottest takes of it kind of pertains to this, and because there's a very specific gripe related to this, and you touched on it, but there's another layer to it that bothers me. So I will discuss this specifically to the Strangers later. Number two, given that situation, at the very least, if I'm face to face with someone who is a threat, or very least, I'm shooting the motherfucker in the leg or something, right? Whether I feel like I can kill them or not, I'm at least going to attempt to negate the threat in some fashion. And number three, there is the moment in the original Indiana Jones movie. I don't know if you've seen it or not, but there is the great moment where the guy's sitting there doing all the spinny tricks with the swords and blah, 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 blah. And Indiana just pulls out a gun and shoots him. So great, because it is just, you don't anticipate that. You don't expect that in a movie. And you think there's going to be some big fight scene, and he just takes care of it like that. And it's absolutely wonderful.
I have seen that movie, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. So, but we will revisit this point when we get to review time, because this was one of my thoughts on the movie. But it's twofold, right? There's what you said, but there's something else in the movie that bugs me, that what adds to the bothering me. We'll just wait till the review. We'll talk about it again, and we'll get there. But yes, I completely understand what you're saying. It is, yeah, it would be nice. It's, I think it's one reason why, like in Terrifier or whatever, it was like this, it was great because, right, he does all these things with these innovative weapons, right? Nails hammered into boards and different things and whatever else. But then there was a scene where he's got a gun and he just used it, right? Because let's be real. I mean, they're going to do what they're going to do in the moment, right? So, I know it.
Well, you said Terrifier, and it just cracks me up because it's the scene where I can't remember the character's name. She's like beating the shit out of him with a wooden board, and he's like bent over, and he like reaches into his shoe, and he's like, "Shazam!"
Yeah, it's just great. So I mean, it's but
like, I know he doesn't speak, but like a peekaboo would have been great right there.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right, but yeah, we will definitely discuss this gun scene thing. A little bit later in our review, because I did have thoughts on it. So, among other things, I have many thoughts about this movie. So, but okay, well there you have it. Ike wants to see a victim just blow away someone and just I mean, don't be hesitant, right? You know, it's sink or swim here. If you want to survive, you got to do it.
We'll talk about it later, but me and Kayla had a conversation after this movie, which I'll reiterate later. I won't say it now because it won't make sense right now. But yeah, it's, yeah, I just, yeah, I won't say it now. I'll wait.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's save it. Not to say too much. You and I have not touched base on this yet, but, this may be a fun review for us today. Because
I think so.
I'm opinionated on this one. So, Dave, just to give a little peek, Dave might yell at a few clouds, but, okay. But we're not there yet. So let's don't put the cart before the horse or right. whatever all these sayings are, whatever it is. But let's just do take a break. And then when we come back, we'll have our news, birthdays, anniversaries, and all that good stuff. So stick around.
Make sure you subscribe to listen to Their Screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number 2 in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spreading the news. And welcome back with the news. All right, horror fans, starting off strong. Our news for today is Horror Inc. has announced the Jason universe. It is described as new Friday the 13th activities, whatever word that's supposed to be, will span a wide range of platforms from entertainment, games, immersive experiences, merchandise, and more to be announced throughout 2024. This is completely unrelated to A24's Crystal Lake, but fans can go to jasonuniverse.com for more info and to sign up for upcoming updates. This is good stuff. Obviously, always looking forward to, you know, more Jason Voorhees, everything possible. I will say, too, that Jason Voorhees is actually getting added to a video game called Multiverses. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's pretty cool. You know, that'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, that was announced right after this was announced and everything. So it's Yeah, this is, I mean, it's, you know, a little kind of vague-ish because I don't, you know, maybe they're not, I'm sure there are probably deals already finalized, but they're not ready to announce some of these things. But yeah, this is pretty cool. I think basically what this is, the movie side of things, right? We've talked about there's all these lawsuits. There's the TV side of thing, the series side of things with the Crystal Lake and what they have and the one side. And then there's the other side. With the movies, I don't know where all that stands per se, but this appears to be more the movie side and that crew. I don't know. It's just basically it feels like they're going to kind of revitalize Jason, right? Jason's always been there,
right?
Right, and his merchandising stuff, but apparently they're really going to do a nice push and get him involved in some things and some things. And let's hope that leads to some new, maybe a new movie or something at some point. Who knows? But yeah. And I don't know that they could have picked a better time to announce this after some of the hoopla recently with Crystal Lake and
yeah,
people leaving and who knows what's happening. And the big rumor, had it been canceled, had it not been canceled. And all this is going on. And I feel like they came in and said, oh, well, we've got this. and it's pretty cool. So. Hopefully it's, you know, some good stuff. I'd like to see some, I mean, you know, we've never had a shortage of, you know, shirts and figures and things for Jason, but, who knows? I mean, I'm, you know, intrigued by some of the things like, you know, immersive experiences and things like that. Who knows what that means? You know, is it a Hollywood, what is that? The Hollywood Horror Nights, you know, something big with that or something else related to it. Who knows what's going to happen here? So, hopefully.
Exactly right.
Hopefully, turns out to be as exciting as it sounds on the surface, and we get some good stuff.
Always looking forward to the good shit. All right. Mm-hmm. Moving on to some upcoming birthdays. Not a whole lot of news this week. Slow news week, let me tell you. All right. Upcoming birthdays. May 23rd, 1969. Felisa Rose, known for her work on the Sleepaway Camp, and she also had a cameo in a lot of things, but Terrifier 2, to be specific. Obviously, Dave and I.
She was somewhere in Hatchet, one of the Hatchet movies. Yep. She was in it. Or Victor Crowley. It was in Victor. I think it was in the Victor Crowley one.
I think so. But Dave and I both love Lisa Rose. She's fantastic.
Absolutely. She is. I could spend hours talking about my love of Lisa Rose. She is such a good representative for horror because she is. She loves and appreciates the fans of this genre so much. And she knows, right, that this is her, right? This, the horror is, that's her. That's her career. And that's what she's, you know, known as. And she's fine with that. And she embraces it. And she does a shit ton of appearances and is so approachable by fans. She's active on social media. She does a podcast with Kane Hodder and stuff and does all kinds of things, man. She's in so many projects, you know, she just does little parts here and there and does all kinds of stuff. And she's so good for the genre as a whole. And, one of the best people to be representative as us, of us as fans and everything. And, Sleepaway Camp is such a great movie. So.
Absolutely. All right. And then May 25th, 1970, Jamie Kennedy, known for his role as Randy in the Scream series, amongst other things. And I've not met him like one-on-one, but I did see him speak at PenceCon a couple years ago. So I have been in the same room as Jamie Kennedy, but I have not personally met him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Randy was a great character in the Scream movies.
Oh, yeah.
And, there's always been a little rumors if, you know, if Randy could pop back up, maybe he didn't really die in this. I don't know. Who knows? But, you know, cool enough character that even in the latest films, right? The family, they kept on with the family a little bit to, you know, as a throwback to him. So, yeah, good stuff.
That's right. Another member of the family, but, I'm kidding. All right. May 26, 1975, Nikki Acox, known for Supernatural and Jeepers Creepers. For those of you who are wondering, she plays Meg Masters in Supernatural.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the first Meg.
The first.
The original Meg. And, you know, Nikki Acox is no longer with us. She, I believe, had cancer. I believe. I don't want to misspeak, but She is no longer with us, past a couple years ago. But just, I mean, she was great. She was great in Supernatural, as the original Meg. And, everybody that, you know, you hear, anybody that worked with her gives her nothing but high praise and how great she was to work with. So.
Yep. You are correct, though. She unfortunately did pass away, due to leukemia in November of 2022. So rest in peace. All right. And then May 27, 1911, somebody who is also dearly departed, Vincent Price. Mm-hmm. 1911 is a long time ago, so this mm-hmm. one's not as surprising.
Not really.
he's probably been gone for a little while. But of course, you know, who doesn't know Vincent Price? Vincent Price is, I would argue, is one of those names that you hear and it's just synonymous with horror. You know, I believe House on Haunted Hill was a big one for him.
Yep.
As well, I'm sure there's many other ones, but I feel like that's the one I can specifically recall when I hear Vincent Price.
Yeah, he was in House on Haunted Hill, the original House of Wax, lots of Hammer films. But the thing, the coolest thing about Vincent Price is even people that have absolutely zero clue about any of his movies per se know who Vincent Price is. Now, some of that is attributed, right? I mean, he was the voice at the beginning of Michael Jackson's Thriller and things like that. But he just became, kind of crossed over as that pop culture, one of the faces of horror, right? At the time. And, but again, another guy that you don't hear anything but praise for him and his approach to everybody and his work and everything else. But, he was a talented dude. And if you don't know Vincent Price from his work, then make sure you go check out his work. The original House on Haunted Hill is a great movie. As is the original House of Wax. It's a great movie, too.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I've seen House on Haunted Hill, but I don't think I've ever seen the original House of Wax. So I'll have to give that a check. Give that a look. Look-see. All right. Moving on to some upcoming movie anniversaries. May 23rd, 1980. The Shannon. The Shining. Right? That's what a groundskeeper, what is
Willie.
It? Willie calls it the Shinnin. Yeah. I love that episode of
Treehouse of Horror.
Treehouse of Horror. But of course, Dave and I both love The Shining. We have talked about this before. Yeah. I believe we've ranked our favorite, brain fart. The guy who made it.
Stephen King.
Stephen King, thank you. Mm-hmm. We've ranked our favorite Stephen King films, mm-hmm. and I believe this was on both of our top threes, if mm-hmm. I recall correctly.
Sure. Yeah, it's such. I mean, Jack Nicholson was just spot on in this, man. He was great. Such a great movie. And if if you've not seen this movie or haven't seen it in a while, it's definitely worth a watch.
Absolutely, gotta watch it. And then May 24th, 1979, Dawn of the Dead. Mm-hmm. We actually recently talked about this, didn't we?
Mm-hmm. Sure did.
So obviously, we both like Dawn of the Dead. Dawn of the Dead exists as a pinnacle of not only zombie film, but also of horror films and also, political messaging in films and deeper meanings and things of that nature. So, yeah. Love Dawn of the Dead. Love George Romero.
Yep, absolutely. Now, I mean, again, not much to say about it because we recently talked at length about it. So if you want to hear further thoughts on this, then go in the archives and check that episode out.
Very true. All right. Moving on, we have May 27, 1988. Killer Clowns from Outer Space. Obviously, we've reviewed Killer Clowns before. Yep. We talked about it.
Mm-hmm. We reviewed it last year around this time. Yeah, around the anniversary time last year.
And, I believe so.
Yeah.
And they are coming out with a game soon, so we'll have that probably later this year, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, lots of info and screenshots and different things coming out about it. God, I love Killer Clowns. I mean, I am literally sitting here recording, looking across the room at a slew of Killer Clown Toonie Terrors and Funko Pops. And then I look over here and I see my replica popcorn gun and the cotton candy gun. I mean, I love Killer Clowns.
I can't blame you. It's a very iconic film, and I love the way just everything looks in that movie. So I do not blame you one bit.
Such a fun movie. It is so fun.
Absolutely. So if you haven't seen that, you can literally watch this anywhere. I'm pretty sure it's on YouTube.
Yeah, I think it's on everything. It's one of those. It's just like you look it up and it's literally on every one of those free, you know, I mean, I'm going to say them, but they're probably, watch it not be on one of them, but it's, you know, all the Tubis and Plutos and right. It seems like it's just everywhere. but it's a and I mean one of the best songs ever from a horror movie with the Dickies, that with that theme song. So good. Oh my God, so good.
Very, very much so. All right. Moving on from Killer Clowns, May 28th, 1980, The Changeling. So I know of this movie, but I've never seen The Changeling, so I need to add this to my watch list, I think.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen it. It's a werewolf movie. And I like it, but I don't remember. I think, excuse me. It's not a werewolf movie. I'm thinking of The Alien. It's not a werewolf movie. I don't know. It's been so long since I've seen The Changeling. So, I remember I do enjoy it, but that's about the extent I can tell you for now.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out because I know the cover. It's like a picture of like a chair with a shadow or something like that. It's kind of the iconic like poster or whatever. But other than
I don't even know. I think it's more shapeshifter. I don't even. It's been so long since I've seen this movie, and I don't know. I need to do a rewatch on it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I need to do my initial watch on it, I think.
There you go.
But, all right. Our last movie anniversary, May 29th, 2009, Drag Me to Hell. This is a Sam Raimi film. Has a our friend Justin Long. I know him personally. No, I don't. Mm-hmm. but
I wish.
I love Justin Long. He's so great. He's like in everything. Like, oh, man. But, Justin Long's in it. I think Alyssa Lohman, as well as many other people, are in this movie. But it's a Sam Raimi film. You gotta love a Sam Raimi film.
Sure. Yeah, it's a good film. Again, I haven't seen it for a bit either. So
it's been a minute for me too. Honestly, I want to get Kayla to watch it because I feel like she would like it. It's like a 2000s horror movie, so I feel pretty confident she'd like it.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, it's a pretty good movie.
Good stuff. Drag Me to Hell. Such a good movie. Such a good name. I love the name.
Yeah, it is a good name.
Anywho, upcoming releases. We got a couple of good releases that have been announced recently by Blumhouse, to be specific. So there are three upcoming movies that everyone can keep an eye out for, if you will. Megan 2.0 will release in theaters June 27th, 2025. The Black Phone 2 comes to theaters October 17th, 2025. And Five Nights at Freddy's 2. For those of us who watch the... Have you ever seen the TikToks about that?
No! Why the hell are you making, like, otter noises? I don't know what that is.
So there's a theme song, and it's, like, it goes like... Da-na, da-na, But on TikTok, there's a meme where it's like, ooh, Freddy Fazbear. It's like, I think it's a Russian guy. He's like, ooh, Freddy Fazbear. And he starts doing it. So, yeah. It's a meme. The younger kids that watch us. Actually, I don't think there's any children that watch us. I hope
not. Probably not.
they would get that. But, anywho. Back on some subject here. Five Nights at Freddy's 2 will release December 5th, 2025. So, obviously, Dave and I loved all of these movies, and we are going to love the sequels, I'm sure. So we are very excited for all of these. I'm especially excited for Five Nights.
Yeah, did we? I'm pretty sure the first of all these we reviewed, right? I mean,
yep.
Again, these are all sequels we knew were coming. But yeah, they have officially announced now the theatrical release dates, and we had some rumors and stuff out there of the dates, but this is official now. Of course, obviously the dates are subject to change, but this is, man, 2025 is going to be a big year.
Very much so. 2025 is going to be a huge year, and hopefully we'll get even more cool shit other than these three, but I guess only time will tell.
Yep.
All right. So before we move on to our official review, I'm going to let you guys know right now, follow us on social media. It's always a good time. It's always a fun time. Make sure you do it. And if you're not, do it now. And when we come back, we will have our official review of The Strangers, Chapter 1. Stick around.
This is Wrestling Nostalgia, the podcast that dives into wrestling history. Hey, wrestling fans, I'm Dave Dynasty. And if you enjoy podcasts that are knowledgeable and history-driven, then Wrestling Nostalgia is for you. With great guests and fun interviews, there are over 200 episodes in our archives. We chat with several first-time guests and often cover topics not discussed on other podcasts. Look up Wrestling Nostalgia on your favorite podcast platform and visit all of our links at linktree.com/WrasslePod. That is linktr.ee/RASSLEPOD. And remember, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and keep on growing.
All right. We're back here on Listen to Their Screams. It is review time, and we're reviewing The Strangers, Chapter 1. Movie was released May 17th in theaters. Story by Brian Bertino. Screenplay by Alan R. Cohen and Alan Fiedlin. Directed by Rennie Harlan. Starring Madeline Pitch and Ryan Bound. It grossed $12 million on opening weekend, which was good for number three on that weekend. Man, oh man. I got some strong opinions about this movie. I was curious. With this movie, it's sometimes occasionally I'll reach out to you and be like, hey, what'd you think? And I really wanted to on this one because I don't know. I was confused. I didn't know what you would think, but I will flat out tell I didn't really like the movie. Didn't really like it at all. I was super disappointed, as hyped as I was for this. And in a nutshell, this movie can absolutely not hold a candle to the original in any way, shape, or form. And, whew. All right. So let's talk about a few things here. Well, here, that's my overall. That's my overview. Ike, what is your overview of the movie?
My overview is that I did not hate the movie, but the movie was not in any particular fashion exceptional. I think that as an overall, I know that this is just the first part of a three-part like trilogy. So I am hoping and I am praying that the other parts to this trilogy are more substantial. But that is my overall. My overall is that this movie, it did not live up to my preconceived notions of what I thought it was going to be. But I am still hopeful that there is redemption in the future.
Yeah, okay. Well, we're in similar veins here. Here's the thing. The original Strangers, I love that movie. And I think it's spectacular. I don't even know how to narrow this down to get on track here. Let's talk about what we brought up earlier, right? You talked about the gun thing. Right? There's a scene, again, this is going to have all kinds of spoilers in it, because I just don't give a crap, right? I mean, whatever. I'm going to talk about everything here. This movie's been out for near a week and everything. And, so we're going to talk about whatever. I'm taking the gloves off here. So there's a scene where the dude, I don't even know his name in the movie, but he's got, I think it's the girl, right? He's got the girl at gunpoint and she's acting kind of kooky and he's all hesitant and doesn't do anything, right? And ends up getting clubbed by one of the other guys, right? Which is what you made reference to earlier. What boggles my mind about this and made it even more confusing to me is, dude came around the corner of a house and shot a dude with no hesitation earlier in the movie. Now, is that why he hesitated here? I don't know, baby. I guess that's, I don't know. Maybe because he, but here's the thing. He killed that guy who was the owner of the house or whatever. And he got kind of shook up. He was looking straight at this and knew this was one of the people. So why was he hesitant here? It's like, it's pretty clear cut who this was, and he was trying to talk all big about, hey, I've already got one kill. It didn't make much sense to me because, I don't know. It was confusing because he didn't hesitate earlier. And if they wanted to play it off as he was a little traumatized by that, it didn't work. It didn't come across that way. And, here he was looking eye to eye with someone he clearly knew was one of the bad guys. And now he's hesitant. It seems super off in this. And I did not like it, but this movie to me did not hit on anything. anything they tried to make suspenseful or build, it just didn't work for me, right? It was, everything was so cliche. And it was, there wasn't much original about it that gave it anything. And it's just, it was, I mean, here, like, you know, the guy goes in town to get his inhaler and the girl's there at the cabin or the home by herself. And she's hearing all these noises and she knows the girl's back at the door and everything else. And she's all terrified. And then she hears another noise and just opens the door and steps out the porch to look around. And I'm like, really? Okay. So literally a few minutes earlier, you were terrified, not knowing what was going on. And now you just unlock the door, step out and look. I don't get it. I don't understand. And, this movie, I don't know. It just didn't build any suspense for me. There was no tension. And I have developed a theory on this, which makes me very hesitant about the sequels. And I'm hopeful, right? I'm hopeful somehow they have got something in the bag. But I have almost come to the opinion that I am not 100% sure that a home invasion movie can make a franchise. I don't know if there's enough concept behind the home invasion of a movie in a movie to make a franchise out of it without completely going off your basis. Because how do you do multiple movies based on a home invasion? You know, what without repeating and everything else? Again, the Strangers movie was great, but anything they've tried since has been a little lukewarm, right? So it's like, how do you stretch a home invasion concept into multiple movies and make it decent?
Yeah.
By keeping your original. I don't know that it works. And this feels like a case of, hey, the original was a hit, made lots of money, and they're just trying to do something with the name and that they own and the property. And, I don't know. And it's absolutely zero against the original, because again, I love the original. I just don't know that you can pull it off with the home invasion concept. I don't know how you can, I don't know how, like this, how are you going to do a trilogy out of this? I'm very afraid that, again, this is full of spoilers. So if you do not want to know about how this movie ends, stop now.
Yeah.
But at the end of the movie, you're right, we know the girl survives because she's in the hospital, right? So in the sequels, is she going to try to seek some revenge? Are they going to come back for her wherever she is? It just seems a little, I don't know. It seems a little weak to try to stretch for two more movies. I don't know how they're going to do it. It seems a stretch to me to get one more movie, but how are you going to do it for two more? And the thing is, so they've already filmed all three, right? They're already done. I don't know. And after seeing this movie, I hope for the best, but I fear the worst. And, while this movie was number three on the weekend, it's not necessarily burning up the box office.
Yeah.
And it's not getting really good reviews. And I'm almost bet anything that the two sequels will go straight to streaming.
You think so?
I do. I have a feeling we're going to end up looking at properties they'll go to streaming. And truth be told, they will probably do very well on a streaming platform. Considering the movies are already in the can and already done, and you know there's not really any future costs to incur, I don't guess, outside of promotional stuff. They've got a little flexibility with it, but I don't know. Maybe two will go theatrical and it'll see what happens with from there based on the third. I don't know. This, I had such high hopes because I do love the original. I hope that there would be a little bit bigger dose of creativity in this to, whilst honoring the feel of the first, giving it a little bit of a fresh take. And it just felt to me like they were trying to mimic the feel of the first and did not pull it off. And there wasn't really anything fresh about it that gave it any redeeming quality for me. I'm sure I feel like they very deeply want us to believe some of the people in the town are tied into this because they encounter some very odd people in town. Whether they truly are, whether they're just red herrings, I don't know. I have wonderings about the girl that gave them the ride to the house and was supposedly seemed kind of normal and nice. I have a feeling, I don't know. And this is my second part, my next part of this. Doing three movies, at some point, are they gonna unmask these people? Are they gonna tell who they are? Because after you do, to me, that burns the best hook of the first movie, is that we never really know.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just, so I don't know. I've kind of rambled again. I was very, very, very disappointed. I just don't have a lot good to say about the movie. I don't. Again, last episode we watched a $300 budget movie that to me was 10 times more entertaining than this movie was. And it just goes to show that sometimes just creativity, drive, and talent cannot be made up for by money.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I was extremely disappointed. I was very hopeful. And I don't know. I felt like it very much let me down. And I heard all the harsh reviews and people talking online. And usually I'm like, yeah, whatever, whatever, whatever. And then it's like, I watched this and I was like, okay, I get it. I see what I understand. I it's the same feeling I got. It just let me down. So Ike, why don't you ramble for a bit now?
Sounds good. All right. So I guess I'm going to break this kind of my thoughts into three parts here. All right. The first part is going to be basically my thoughts on the movie by itself. The second part is basically my thoughts on the future of the franchise. And then the third part is sort of, I guess the third part kind of mixes with the future of the franchise, just a little bit different. So basically two parts then, because I can't count. I'm a fucking idiot. Illiterate too. I'm just kidding. I can't read. No, I'm kidding. I read subtitles.
Okay.
So from the perspective of just this movie, right, looking at this movie by itself with no external factors, I could enjoy the movie. The movie was not without enjoyment. I do think that the movie is, especially this first one, is 100% coasting off of the, what I was going to say is the other thing is that I was going to talk about how some of the connections to the other films, which was another part of it. So that there are three things. Okay. So yeah. This movie by itself, I think that they tried to imitate what was done with the first movie. The first movie sort of had like a cult presence to it, right? Mm-hmm. I'm assuming the first movie had a theatrical release, probably a small one. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so
it definitely did. I went and saw it in theaters.
Right. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that this movie tried too hard to imitate the first movie without trying to give it its own original flair. I think that the movie in of itself, had it not been labeled a Strangers movie and had different masks and different sort of setup, probably would have passed a little better. But I think the fact that this movie is specifically a Strangers related movie is going to be the downfall of the film to some extent. That being said, I do think that there are some redeeming qualities of this movie. Specifically, I do think that Madeline Petch did a great job in her role. And the killers, I thought, did a good job. And what I mean by that is that you can only do so much with a bad script or a bad idea. And I think that everyone who is in this film, generally speaking, did a decent job with what they were given, right? It wasn't perfect. There are obviously going to be some flaws, but from a overview point, it is just they did what they could with what they were given, and it wasn't horrible. There were some genuinely tense moments that I enjoyed, but then there were also some moments that I didn't enjoy. I did not enjoy the fact that, like you said, you know, this guy straight up blasted the owner. No remorse, no hesitation. but he has a person dead to rights at the end of the barrel of a gun, looking this motherfucker in the eye, and refuses to pull the trigger. And to me, at that point, it would almost feel like, you know, it just seems nonsensical. You can still have more movies, and I'll talk about this too a little bit later. You can still have more movies with just two killers, right? Assuming that there's only three. And I'll talk about that in a minute. But you can have another movie if you kill one of the people, right? There's nothing written that says if you kill one of the killers that there cannot be more, or there cannot be something else to do in another movie. I think that had they killed one of them, it would have, in my opinion, created more investment to the film. It would have made me feel more invested. It would have actually felt like there were stakes, because it felt like there were always stakes for the victims, but it felt like that the killers were at no stakes. And there's a common ground, right? The first film did this in a good way, right? The first film depicted the victims as completely outclassed by the killers, right? The first film specifically makes it a point to say that these killers are thousands of times smarter, thousands of times above and beyond that of the victim, right? The mm-hmm. victims never stood a chance. The second film, which is Strangers Pray at Night, they went a little too hard right when it kind of came to that intersection of, like, you know, smart killers versus dumb killers. And they essentially made the killers, like, pawns. I mean, they all died in the second film, which was Pray at Night. There was no vestment, or there was no, what's the word? There was no stakes for the killers. It just felt like they were just going to get killed no matter what. You know what I mean? So this film sort of took the same direction that the first film did, but instead of making the killers incredibly competent and the victims incompetent or just outclassed, they will go out of their way to make the victims smart, right? They go out of their way to point out that these are not your standard idiot victims, right? They're both intelligent people. They're both learned. They are both, you know, they have abilities beyond that of what a normal person might have. But instead of capitalizing on that and providing stakes for the killers, they completely ignore the fact that at some juncture, one of them should have at least been injured. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it just felt nonsensical. Like, why would you not at least let one of them take a bullet? You know what I mean? They can live. You know, if they get winged by a bullet, or if they get winged by, you know, buckshot, it's going to hurt. They're probably going to be out down for the count, but they're not going to die. You know what I mean? Why can you not give something to the victim, to the people who are being hunted, to give them at least a fighting chance? And it just kind of felt like that there was no middle ground there. It was either one or 100, and there's no sense to it. So that being said, my thought process about the connection to the overall series is that, and this also kind of leads into where I think that the next two films are going to go, I think we're going to learn that these are not isolated incidents, that these killers are doing this all across the country, and it's not the same killers. I'm sort of thinking that it's going to be sort of like a cult type thing where they kind of wear the masks, but there's not, they all don't exist like within the same like borders, if that makes sense. Because the director to this film even said that this movie is not a reboot or a direct sequel, that it exists in the same universe to some degree. So the only way that they could really do that is if there are multiple killers, other than the three that we see in the film, right?
Yeah.
Because the first film takes place in the early 2000s. It's very clear, 2005-ish is when that film takes place. The next film takes place in about 2015. This movie takes place in about 2024. So each of these films have about a 10-year gap between them. And so you cannot say that all of these killers are the same killers, right? Not only because the killers in Pray at Night die, but the killers in the first film, they would be older. They would be about 20 years older than they are in the first film. And not to say that they would be incapable, but assuming that at least the Sack Man was in his 30s, you'd have a 50 to 60 year old killer. And then you start getting into the realm of, you know, can he operate the same way he operated in that film? But not to mention, all of the killers do operate somewhat differently. So I don't think they are all the same person, which I think is going to be what they talk about in this next film, is that there might be like a support group or something like that where Madeline Petch's character goes to, that there are multiple of these people and there are these multiple of these like groups that are hunting and killing people, right? I think that Madeline Petch is going to go back to the area to try and figure out what happened, who the killers are. And I think that the final showdown will occur in the third movie. And I think that the killers will be unmasked during that film. But I think this next movie will probably be like a bridge point where it takes from the first film to the last film. And I'm hoping that there will be some, either the hunters are hunting her down, or alternatively, she's trying to figure out who they are, which then leads to some sort of confrontation. And then the final film is the ultimate confrontation between the groups or whatever. That's kind of my thought process. The film was not the worst, was not the best. I have high hopes for the other films. I'm hoping that maybe this film was just, you know, to use a wrestling term, the first film was knocking off the ring rust, and the next films are going to be the slam dunk that we're looking for. You know what I mean? But I do agree. It could very well be that they go to streaming. I know that Max owns the rights, I believe, to the other Strangers films. Those are streaming on there currently. So I would not put it past them to go straight to streaming, because it would make sense. I guess it kind of depends, like you said, on how this film does and if they're willing to take a financial risk on the next film putting it in theaters. Because yeah, if this one didn't bring in the moolah, it's, you know, who knows if the next one will. So, but yeah, that's where I'm at. I wasn't ecstatic with where they went with this, but I'm hopeful that it'll get better, basically.
Yeah, you're probably more hopeful than I am. I'm hopeful, but I don't have a lot of faith. And I don't know. I don't know. After this start, I just feel like I'm so afraid it's even going to get worse. And who knows? I'm not going to prejudge anything till we've seen it, but I know I was severely let down by this one. I can't even explain. I can't even name a redeeming quality. I did not like this movie at all. So, woohoo! Let's rate this sucker. I am literally going to give this thing a 1.5 out of 5. I did not like this movie at all. Just did not. Not nothing. So, I will guarantee you won't be as low as I am, but, I'm giving it a 1.5. Ike, what are you rating it?
Yeah, I'd say I was going to give it just a standard, 3 out of 5. I could still enjoy the movie. Like, I was glad to see the characters back. And like, I thought that there were things that it could be improved on, but I didn't think it was a bad movie. I just felt like it was weak, you know, but I still enjoyed it. And, you know, like we always say it, like, we kind of base it off of our enjoyment, and I was still able to enjoy the movie, but there were definitely things about the movie that I just really hope that they fix in the next movies. So, and here's the thing too, is that in my opinion, and kind of based on what I've heard from these creators, is that the three movies are sort of supposed to be watched as a whole, right? Because he wants to release a supercut of all three films. So that to me, and kind of based on what he says, means that these movies are ultimately intended to be watched as a full sequence. So I'm giving it the benefit of the doubt, but when the other movies come out, I will probably be a little more harsh if they are not good, because if this is meant to be watched as a full sequence, three movies, and it's not good, then yeah, at that point I'm going to be like, okay, well, fuck you then.
Yeah. Yeah. A super gun, huh?
That's what I read. I could be wrong.
That worries me, but we'll see. Again, did not like it. So I have to ask out of curiosity, what did Kayla think of it?
So, Kayla liked it, but she liked Prey at Night more.
Ooh.
Yeah. Here's the thing.
Liked it more than this?
No, well, she likes Prey at Nine, but more than both of the other films.
Oh, no! Whoa, hey, whoa!
So
she
Kayla,
likes Prey at Nine more than the original?
She does. So Kayla... it's weird, because Kayla falls into this weird niche, like, group where she doesn't really like slasher movies. Like it's not her favorite genre. So anytime we watch a slasher movie, I mean, she's always kind of like, it's all right. But she's like, we watched the other two movies and she's like, I don't mind the first movie. She's like, but it's too slow. And I was like, that's kind of the point, you know? And then she really likes Prey at Night. She thinks it's really good. She thinks that's the best one of the three. And she liked this one, but she's like, it wasn't as good as Prey at Night. So.
Yeesh.
Yeah, I'm not sure what Monica's thoughts on the films are, but that could potentially be a hot take depending on what she likes.
Yeesh. She likes the first one, does not like Prey at Night. She's not watched this yet, but I can almost guarantee she is not going to like it. So what would you suspect Kayla would rate this one? You gave it a 3. You think she would kind of be in agreement, kind of the agreement there on 3?
I think that she would probably be somewhere between like a 2.5 and a 3 on this movie. I think that she would probably put the first one somewhere between a 2 and a 3. And then probably like a 2 or 2.5 maybe. And then Prey at Night, if I had to guess, would be like a 3.5, if I had to guess. For her.
We might have our next rebuttal segment, but it won't be... wives against husbands. It might be couple against couple here on this movie. if Monica feels the way I suspect she'll feel, because I feel like you guys thought more highly of this than I do. But I don't know about. Oh, no way do I think Prey at Night's better than the original. Oh, ow, ooh, that hurts. I need more alcohol before I hear that kind of stuff. Okay. We need to move on from that. But anyway, go see it. See what you think. This will probably, I would venture to guess, won't take too long. It'll probably be video on demand, given the quick turnaround of things nowadays. Usually only takes just a few weeks. And so I suspect this one will hit video on demand. And no matter what, you know, people think, whatever else, I still have a gut feeling when this hits streaming, it'll probably be a big watch on streaming, because it's just, you know, people on streaming, they're looking for things to watch. And I think lots of people will give this a chance when it hits streaming. So,
For sure.
But there you go. Kind of a split decision on this one today. I liked it a little more than me. And I just didn't like it at all. And kind of felt generous giving them a 1.5. did not like it. And I am so worried about the other two, but I'm going into them with an open mind, as I always do. And I don't know the timetable on them. I've not really looked into the dates. I'm guessing they're not planning until next year. I don't know.
Honestly, from what I've heard, the next Chapter 2 is supposed to come out this year. Supposedly August or October, somewhere between there, or September. I don't remember what I read, but it was a insider, I think someone said. Obviously, I'm not like one for like unconfirmed leaks, but like that was what I read. August to October is Chapter 2, and then Chapter 3 would release first or second quarter of 2025.
Yeah, I would think it would be wise to try to rake in some of that Halloween season for part two and give it a little bit of a boost. That helps any horror movie, no matter where it stands, to be kind of, you know, falling into that time period. So I would think a September-ish type release, would be pretty wise for part two if they're going to do it this fall. But we'll see. We'll keep our eyes open and obviously when we know more, we'll report it here and see what happens. Again, I'm guessing there's things in motion, right, that will probably be dependent on what this does overall. Like I said, it did whatever, 12 million opening weekend. The second weekend's coming up. If it, you know, stays remotely steady, okay, that might be okay. But if there's a big drop or anything, who knows? So I don't know. We'll see. I mean, obviously, I would guess there's some fluid things going on here with this, depending on how this first one overall performs. So we will we'll keep an eye on the situation with the franchise. So next episode, we don't really have there's not really anything that we know of new streaming nor theatrical that's really really relevant. So we're gonna kick back a couple weeks and pick up one that we didn't get to watch when it came out, and we're gonna watch Infested off of Shudder. It's not too old, just a couple, you know, 2 or 3 weeks old, I believe. It's got a lot of buzz and talk. Got some apparently giant spiders, so we'll see what that's like, and could be fun. We'll see what we really enjoyed Life of Belle on Screambox. Well, now it's Shudder's turn to see what they have to offer us with the movie Infested. Again, I've heard some good things. That's a fun movie, so we will see what we think. So, Ike, before we get out of here and close this, anything you want to throw in?
You know, just if you're hunted down by a serial killer, you got him at gunpoint, pull the fucking trigger. For the love of Christ, pull that motherfucking trigger.
Yeah. I mean, come on, if you hear something or hear somebody and somebody creepy is coming to the door and you lock the door and bunker down, yeah, just leave it locked. Don't open the door and go try to peek. Just assume the worst, right?
Exactly.
Just assume that, you know, there's nobody out there delivering, you know, candy grams or anything that you want to open the door for. Just assume it's the creepy lady asking for someone. I've always wondered this, if there's any relevance to the name, that girl says. I can't remember the name off the top of my head.
Is Tamar home?
Yeah, Tamar. I always wonder if there was ever any relevance to the word Tamar, to the name Tamar in this. If they thought it through enough, or if it's just a random name. You know what I mean? Or is the girl's name Tamar? She's just using her own name, or who knows? What is? I've always wondered if, and who knows? Maybe they'll tie that in the next couple. Who knows what they're gonna do?
You know, what'd be cool is if Tamar was like the one that got away, and so they just keep reusing the name, hoping that like they'll find her or something.
She got away. They're literally, that's all they're doing. They're just going door to door trying to find Tamar.
That's right. Is Tamar home?
I don't know. Maybe they're getting a bad rap. Maybe they're just
missionaries.
They're just missionaries. Maybe they're just going door to door trying to tell everybody about the Ewok Lord and Savior C-3PO. Who knows? I mean,
really aggressive.
Yeah, they're just spreading the good word. And when you don't open the door, they're like, well, damn it. I mean, come on. There's been lots of violence in the name of a religion in history. So,
oh, man. Better be careful.
Yeah, we're walking a thin line here. We don't want to go there. Okay, well then, I guess that's as good a place as any just to shut up and get out of here. So until next week, when we're reviewing Infested that came out in Shudder a few weeks ago. Wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and always have many pleasant nightmares.